All right, welcome back. And joining us now is a guest that we've had on many times, always enjoy talking to Goatree. He works in the cybersecurity area, and he is, I guess you call him a white hat guy that is protecting against the black hat guys. In other words, a business will hire him to try to find vulnerabilities and warn them before the bad guys do it. So joining us now is Goatree. Good to have you on, Goatree. Thanks for joining
us. Hey, good morning, David.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, man, everything. you know, you've got a great show rolling today. And, you know, I was listening and I was thinking, you know, failure's good. It's really good. Because a lot of this that you were talking about has failed. And I hope it continues to fail. Even though they're promoting it like it's on the horizon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm happy to see these self-driving cars fail. But you know what? They don't care. There's several articles out from mainstream media in the last couple of days saying, well, whether it works or not, we're gonna equip the semi-trailers to be self-driving. It's like, you've already seen it doesn't work. You've already seen how bad it is in San Francisco and other places like that, and you've had to stop these experiments. So now what you're going to do is you're going to fail up. I mean, this is ridiculous. They keep taking it up to bigger and bigger things to fail.
Well, I mean, but they'll promote it as a success. I mean, you know, one of the things I've really got to chuckle about, and everybody's panicked about, well, you should be panicked about it, but, you know, Elon Musk just did that brain chip thing. And he's promoting it as a success. And one thing, it validates what we've been saying for years about it, to plug people into the grid. He put this chip into a man that was paralyzed from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
Under the premise that it's going to give him his motor skills back and do all this. Mm-hmm. The only thing that has got came out of it so far is the guy's hooked up to the net, just like we've been predicting all along.
Yeah.
And only result Elon's got from it was posted on X, I'm Elon's bot.
Yeah.
You know, he still can't move his arms. He still can't move his legs, but he's wired up to the net now.
Yeah. Yeah, he can play video games with his mind. Isn't that a great accomplishment? Yeah, that's a pretty radical game accessory to open up your skull and put a chip on your brain so that you can play a game. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, now, I think the most successful part about it is, you know, how we've been talking about how are they going to hook you up to the net, and then that's going to lead into your backs, but how's he able to transmit outside of his skull? I mean, that was one of the sticking points. And the only thing I could think of is the guy's got like this antenna, like these cartoon Martians, you know, where he raises the antenna and connects to the internet. I don't know how they've done it.
That old TV show, My Favorite Martian, where he thinks about it, gets a couple of antennas come out of his head. I don't know, but you know, at the same time, as they move forward in this, and of course, here's the vision coming from the RAND Corporation. They said that there's going to be an Internet of Brains by 2050. This sounds like The Matrix. I mean, these people are trying to make science fiction come true. And it's kind of interesting, you know, to see writers like Annie Jacobson. She's now out again talking about nuclear war. But I've talked about her books on Operation Paperclip and on DARPA and other things like that. She gets access to these people in the Pentagon and talks about, you know, what is coming up. But it truly is amazing. She said that they'd like to get these science fiction writers and movie producers into the Pentagon and talk to them because then that gives them a vision for what they want to implement. And she said when she went there with Gail Ann Hurd, who was the former wife of James Cameron, they were married and co-producers of the Terminator series. And then they got divorced. And he just, as far as I'm concerned, he made a bunch of junk. underwater movies and everything. But, you know, with Gale Ann Hurd there, everybody was like, oh, I love the Terminator. I mean, they identify with the villains. And she said, that's kind of the scary part of this. She said, first of all, they're all kind of, you know, when they go home, they got a family and they got a dog and they got a TV and they're kind of like us. But she said, the bad thing about it is these people identify with the villains and they're looking at these science fiction writers. Give me some ideas of some things that I can do. Well, here we got the Rand Corporation talking about an Internet of Brains. Looks like they've been camping out on the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. And then here's another fail. Okay. Now you think about this. Google AI. They're presenting the founding fathers as African Americans. They're, I mean, this is not AI. And to me, it's just flat out fraudulent. It's a failure. It's programmed. It has nothing to do with AI. They're trying to influence people under the guise of AI. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the public access to their AI. I don't know what's in the back room. But to me, I mean, if I had a staff of programmers that did that to my AI, everybody would be a laughing stock.
But you know, that's perfect, because it was a picture of what they were doing with text, you know, and yet when you do it with a picture, everybody gets it instantly. And now they're talking about the fact that they can do voice cloning so quickly that they can, they only need 15 seconds of your voice in order to clone it. Okay. Well, I guess maybe if Google's doing this, everybody's going to sound like Samuel L. Jackson, right?
Well, hey, maybe they'll all sound like me. They'll get lucky. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna be misappropriating voices all over the place. But this is such dangerous technology that only the government can have it. Right? This is Sam Altman, right? Who is this guy is dangerous, but he's going to give that technology to the government to clone our voices. But you and I can't have that. It's just too dangerous for us to have that kind of technology.
I think maybe it's time someone start calling failures a good thing, because have you seen this technology? I haven't. I mean, I hear about it.
Yeah.
I mean, but I haven't seen anything, and it's great cover for these politicians. You know, they can say, well, that wasn't me. That was AI.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, Trump was saying that when they were doing some stuff. All of this stuff, you know, all these clips of me saying that's all AI. He's already using that as an excuse, as an alibi. It's like, no, I think that was you.
So, you know, it's like everybody's talking about failure. I used to be totally anti-failure, but now I'm embracing it. It's like failure's a good thing with what these people are doing.
Yeah. Well, you sound like me. You know, we start out in technology, and it's like, yeah, this stuff is great. And then we start seeing how it's being monopolized by the government and by the military industrial complex and DARPA and all the rest of the stuff, and we start rooting for failure.
You know, I've got a great story for you that goes back to your days at TI.
Mm-hmm.
You remember back in the 80s, or even in the 70s, man, if you had a calculator, handheld calculator, you were top of the food chain.
That's right. That's right.
And one of the first things I did with, I was working in radio at the time, and the first thing I did, you know, I was a techie, but, you know, back then tech didn't pay anything. You were looked at like the village idiot. So I was working in the radio station, and my first paycheck, I bought a TI handheld calculator, about the size of a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I whipped that thing out. Man, I'm the biggest nerd in the room. And it was instant respect.
That and your digital watch.
Well, I couldn't afford those. I just only had a calculator. So my mother had passed earlier, it was last year. And I was cleaning her house out, and I found that calculator. Because I gave it to her after, you know, there was bigger and better things. You know, more zeros and the more commas you could calculate, the bigger geek you were. So I gave her my old one, and I found that. And it has to be every bit of 45 years old. I turned it on, it was working. I'm like, you know, Ross Perot and David got it right the first time. But you know, what they're doing with technology, it's just setting up for fail. It's not doing anything like we used to be able to do where you had longevity to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a big leap. You know, when I got into engineering, they had just approved for use for the students. They could use calculators instead of using a slide rule and having, you know, carry around with you a slide rule and a book with tables and extrapolate between the, and so, you know, it was like, oh, this is great. And it really was, you know, and it was very useful and helpful. And so they had TI programmables and they had HP programmables. I think HP's put themselves out of business now, but I got the HP. It had RPN in it. Remember that? A reverse Polish notation. Basically what it was a stack. And so you do the operatives in a different order and everything, but it was a lot of fun. And you had a great time with that stuff. And remember going into classes and they'd have this giant, a couple of them, they'd have giant slide rules on the wall that were maybe about 5 or 6 feet long. So the professor could indicate people what I had to do. And it's like, boy, I'm glad I didn't start this a year or two earlier. You know, it's a great timing to miss out on that stuff. But it used to be that technology was something that was very useful and directed to you. I remember the other thing that was happening right about that time was the revolution in personal computers. And and you were involved in that as well. But, you know, the thing is, they had centralized computers and it was such a hassle to use them. And then you had computers that would sit there and wait for you instead of you sitting there and waiting for the computer. But now it's completely the other way around. They're using technology in every regard to surveil and to control us, not to serve us.
That's right. You said that. I was employee number 30 at Compaq back in the day.
Wow.
And, you know, what we built back then is now what we call smartphones. But I remember one day, this is a great story, because this is where they're going wrong with technology. This is before Compaq went out, you know, really hit the market. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to build the ultimate machine. And we did a lot of things. We smoked things we weren't supposed to smoke back then, but it helped us in the lab. So we got the bright idea, let's shock test the prototypes. Well, we grabbed about 4 of the prototypes and went up to the roof, and we were throwing them off the roof, shock testing them. Rod Canyon, the CEO, drove up. I swear I've never seen a man have a nervous breakdown in the middle of the parking lot. But of those computers that we threw off the roof, 4 of the 5 survived.
Oh.
Now, can you imagine throwing any kind of electrical device off the roof nowadays and expecting it to survive?
That's right. That could have been a marketing thing right there. See, it's a... it's not a bug, it's a feature. You know, we can drop these things off the roof.
Yeah.
Well, a certain percentage of them survive.
Well, the vice presidents walked in and we were bowling with them. I mean, we had a hallway that we could use them like bowling balls to see if they would survive. But, you know, nobody does that anymore. It's like it's a piece of junk. You drop your iPhone on the floor, it's going to break. And, you know, this is the type of stuff that the longevity of things, as opposed to what we seem to be doing now, which is totally wrong. You think about these brain chips. You get one of these put in. Well, you know, while I'm on that subject, I remember you were talking about DARPA. I was part of the NEMEX program, which was the big web server, the one that looks at everything on the web search that looks at everything on the internet. Well, at the time, parallel to it was a DARPA Brain Initiative, and I had the clearance and these type of things where, you know, you and I've talked about that. I used to slip over there and read and watch and see what worked and what didn't. So when I'm talking about these chips and what they're doing, I already had, this was 2013, 2014, I already had a glimpse of what was coming. And something dawned on me with these COVID shots. sharp axis. You know how they're pulling all these sinews and this white rubbery stuff out of these people's veins and stuff?
Yeah.
It dawned on me. This is the threading that will go from the chip to the person's antenna, which, as it stands right now, will be the tattoos.
Wow. Wow.
And that nanotech lost control, or they lost control of it. Something lost control, and it didn't stop building at thread status. And it just kept building until it plugged these veins and arteries.
Wow.
This nanotech that's in these people from these shots, it's almost gone rogue.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, it's kind of interesting because you look at their key technologies, genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, and nanotech. The acronym to remember that is GRAIN. But they talk a great deal now about genetics, always talking about genetics, always talking about robotics, always talking about artificial intelligence. But what they don't talk about is nanotech. And I think, you know, that dog that's not barking right now, the fact that they're not talking about nanotech, that's a big deal. And it's interesting that you had mentioned that, because I think that's very significant. We had in Japan, they threw out first 1.2 million doses of this genetic code injection, and then they threw out an additional million. And what happened was, and I don't know if these things were not properly refrigerated or what it was, but they started noticing black particulates in it that would react to magnets. And so they just trashed a couple of, like 2.25 million doses of this stuff because they had magnetic particulates come out of the vaccine, or precipitate.
Yes. You
know? Yeah.
That was that graphene oxide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, but you know, I can't do it. I mean, if someone went through one of these big fibrous things in front of me, I'm going to squeal like a 12-year-old girl and go, ew, get it away. But one of these.
Well, they're pulling these things out of dead people because it killed them. You know, like you said, it's like nanotech.
What I mean.
That's always the thing about nanotech. You know, they're talking about what happens with nanotech, self-reproducing and very small. What happens if we can't stop it and it doesn't run away? And they say, well, just get this gray goo. And maybe you're right. Maybe that is what is happening with clogging of the veins.
You know, it has run away, but these undertakers and people that are dealing with this, one thing I would like to see, and it would be the smoking gun and be an end all on proving this, is they send an electrical charge to it and see if it will conduct electricity.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
You see, if it will handle a little 9-volt charge to it, or even smaller, it's a minuscule amount of electricity, but something that could verify it, that would leave no doubt that this was this threading system that they have planned for these brain chips.
It'd be interesting to know what the resistance is across it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And that's my point. If it's conducting electricity, you've got some explaining to do, Pfizer.
No, they don't have to explain anything. They'll just say, it's rare. It's not happening. I don't care what you see. Don't believe your eyes. I'm the FDA. I'm Fauci. I'm Trump or whatever. I'm going to tell you what this is about, or Biden. It truly is amazing. And yet, you know, getting back to this brain chip thing, and what RAND Corporation is now saying, you know, they'll say eventually when they're ready to roll something out, they'll finally admit what they're doing. You've seen this stuff happening for a very long time. And, you know, getting back to Annie Jacobson, and she was talking about some of these agencies. She said, you know, you have this one agency, and it was involved in launching satellites and all this kind of stuff. Huge agency. And nobody knew it existed for decades. You look at the NSA. For the longest time, people say it's no such agency. It doesn't even exist. We're not even going to acknowledge its existence and that type of thing. But they keep these even entire agencies. One guy was bragging about it. He said, we had 10,000 people that were involved in this project, and not one person leaked it. And he said, well, actually 10,001, because we had Tom Clancy involved as well. Tom Clancy, you know, Tom Clancy, this is the guy who worked with Steve Pachinik. And he was working with these guys, keeping this big project with 10,000 people. He's keeping it secret. It's like, what is going on with it? Anyway, the bottom line is, when they start talking about this stuff, It means that they're right on the cusp of putting it out. And so now the RAND Corporation is talking about an internet of bodies. We've always talked about how you've talked about this for a very long time, all these different medical devices and things that they put on and how they can use that to hook us into the internet of things and how we all become more things that they can monitor. And so they talk about the internet of bodies and they say, well, and then, you know, if we got an internet of bodies, we can have an internet of brains as well. Elon Musk is actually even talking about this GoTree with talking about how social media for him is kind of like a hive mind. And maybe that is a key part of why he got Twitter, because maybe it isn't just about building his public image with conservatives as Mr. Free Speech or something, but maybe it is about this hive mind mentality and being able to monitor what everybody is saying. Maybe that's the key part of it. Maybe that's the hive mind that he is trying to set up.
Well, you've got the answer. You just haven't applied it to the right application yet. But that's AI.
Yeah.
You see, machine learning, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. This is what it's going to take to drive AI. And, you know, I put my cutoff date at year 2000 after Bill Gates failed to do Y2K. Yeah, I love to remind him of that. His first virus pandemic didn't work out. Neither did his second one. Good going, Bill. Smartest man in the room.
Let's hope that their surveillance stuff works as good as his search function on Windows.
I'm telling you, man, that's what I'm saying. Failure's good.
Yeah.
But if you took everything that was said, ever been said, published, or put on the internet and put it into an insanely large library to power the AI. Mm-hmm. AI would be giving you answers by consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just said Elon's trying to turn a Twitter into basically an AI form. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
What better bang for your buck is to buy the largest social media platform there is. You're limited, well, except if you want to pay for it, you can post more, but you're limited to a set amount of characters. It's perfectly tailor-made to feed AI.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could ask AI, what is the world's favorite color? And it could access all these trillions of replies and referring colors and come up with the one that is primarily the most favorite.
And then it would lie to you about it because it's biased.
Well, sure. You could do like Google and just pre-program it, you know, like, hey, let's just program it to give out the results we want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not AI. I mean, I'm sorry. That there is, well, I can't say it on air. I mean, you know, everybody turns around and say, did he really say that? But no, this is, Google needs to be called out for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pure Bolshevik, you know, it's a Marxist tactic.
There's the word I was looking for. It rhymes with it anyhow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, you know, when you look at what they're talking about, though, and as you're pointing out, they've got to scrape all this information to train AI, and then they got to take the extra step of inputting a bias into it, you know, to get it to give you the first. It's got to know what the right answer is, and then it's got to be trained to lie to you. So they got a task ahead of them. But when they grab all of this information, it's now even being talked about by the Wall Street Journal, saying they're calling it inbreeding. Whereas in the past, and other people have talked about it, they call it kind of cannibalism. And they made the analogy to mad cow disease. You know, you feed cows, other cows, and after a while they get this brain disease. Or humans, cannibals, they get Yakov-Creutzfeldt disease, which is a human equivalent of mad cow. But they said, you know, if the artificial intelligence has to feed on human content on the internet, and then the problem is that it's pumping out so much content. once it starts feeding on its synthetic stuff, once it starts bringing in artificial intelligence stuff instead of human stuff to use, then it starts getting really stupid in just a couple of generations. It's just like mad cow disease. And so they're calling it now that Wall Street Journal is, I talked about this months ago. Now Wall Street Journal is talking about it. Instead of making the reference to mad cow disease, they call it inbreeding, you know, kind of comparing it to the royal family, I guess, you know, but it's going to be this inbreeding thing. And, but either way, they've got a real issue because they're pumping out so much content. They're going to be polluting their own data source.
One can never have enough inbred silicon, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's going to be. That and you talk about failure being good. That may be the thing that saves us from
it is.
Artificial intelligence. I mean, is going to be the fact that it's inbred or it turns into gets this cannibalism thing. If you stop and think about it, make the comparison of AI being zombies, you know, got to feed on brains, you know, brains, I need more brains.
that's what your brain chip may evolve into.
That's right.
I was trying to remember these, in ancient Egypt, they used beetles for when a person passed away,
mm-hmm.
and then feed upon your gray matter. What was it, scarabs or something
scarab,
like that?
Yeah, there's a scarab beetle. Yeah, I didn't know that they ate brains.
Well,
but maybe
they're really beautiful. They're rainbow colored and really beautiful, and they have a really ugly existence. And that may be what we need: digital scarabs. You know,
that's right. Instead of Trojan horses or viruses, we could have scarabs for the AI. Maybe that'll be a thing. Maybe you can help make that come true. Who knows?
I don't know about that, but, you know, with the wall of crap that we're having to put up with, I mean, you brought up the ship that ran over the bridge earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear any more about it. It only happened like 2 or 3 days ago. That's old news. It's not, they've already moved on.
Can you imagine how old the news is going to be when it's a decade from now and they still haven't built a replacement?
Oh, by then, people forget there was even a bridge there, short as our attention spans are getting.
They'll forget that Baltimore was there, because Baltimore will disappear.
That may not be a bad idea at the moment.
That's right. Well, except that they're all going to relocate somewhere else. You know, it's like smashing an anthill. You know, the problem is they're going to reconstitute themselves somewhere else. It may be closer to your house, so. But
maybe we could rename it like Hollywood or something, and they'd all return. Well, we don't remember Baltimore, but Hollywood in Maryland is really a nice place.
Yeah,
but all this information overload we're on—it's almost got to the point where people are that try to keep up with it. Because I was thinking about, okay, how am I going to do your show? You know, what are we going to focus on? And there is so much out there right now. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. If you tried to focus on it, you'd almost feel like a schizophrenic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
That's my life there. Yeah. But you think about what that's going to do to AI. I mean, how can it process the amount of information, disinformation, general nonsense is being hurled at it on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that's true. Well, you know, when we look at it, I think what is really scary too is, you know, not only is it their encroachment into our minds and their intention to, you know, take over our minds, literally connect us to their internet. Cause that's a two-way street. You know, if you can project your thoughts, guess what? They can project stuff into your thoughts as well. Right. So it's kind of a two-way street there, but you know, the other part of it is robotics and the merger of robotics with artificial intelligence. I played a couple of weeks ago, a picture of this company, called Figure AI, and they had a very, very impressive robot. I mean, this thing, had smooth moves, you know, and it, not this jerky kind of stuff like you see with Disney animatronics or anything like that, but I mean, it had a great deal of dexterity, could pick up soft uncooked eggs and things like that, not break them. It would have to look, you could interact with it because it had ChatGPT as a brain, but it had incredible dexterity and it could process and learn from watching humans how to do tasks. It could interact with people and kind of draw conclusions and stuff. There was a little bit of a hesitation after they talked to it, but it come back and it even had like this California surfer dude way of speaking, and even had like a that type of deal. They even programmed it with that to make it seem more human, even though you're just looking at a faceless glass head. But when you have something like that, now these people are, the guy who did Figure AI, the CEO, mm-hmm. is now saying that we're going to have these things everywhere. They're going to be ubiquitous. They're going to be like your cell phone. And I started thinking about that. What could possibly go wrong with that, GoTree? Everybody?
Oh, nothing. You just forget how to think. Just go look up your glass head and talk to it. It has answers.
And this thing is going to follow you around. This is worse than Orwell. Orwell envisioned a big brother eye that's going to constantly be watching you. This thing is going to be mobile. And it's going to be, metal and strong. I mean, it could throttle you if it wants to. But, it's going to be your constant companion following you around instead of having your spy device in your pocket. Your big brother device, the smartphone in your pocket, you're going to have some minder bodyguard robot, or more like a prisoner guard, who's going to be following mm-hmm. you around everywhere.
Yep, it goes back to the old saying, we're alone together.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it's going to be, it's going to be kind of a babysitter, kind of a minder, a constant surveillance there. When they had the Snowden tapes and Snowden leaks, and it was only reported in Germany, Der Spiegel, but they didn't show it here in the U.S., so I've shown it over and over again. And it was three slides, and they said, who would have thought in 1984, and they show the Super Bowl commercial. And the next slide is Steve Jobs holding up a smartphone. Who would have thought in 1984 that this would be Big Brother? And they show him holding a smartphone. And then they show everybody lined up in an Apple store to buy it. And they said, and that the zombies would line up to pay for it themselves. And so I guess they're going to get people to pay for these robots themselves. The early adopters will think they're so cool. And then they'll probably heavily subsidize these things so that everybody can have their own prison guard, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I hate to say it. Maybe I'm just going rogue. I don't know. But people, they start the drumbeat of this cool factor. And they condition these people so you must have it.
Yeah.
And by the time it actually rolls out, it's like, us taxpayers in the U.S., we're funding our own demise. And we're happily doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with the great big glass talking head. And I don't even know how you're going to cart that thing around, but anyhow.
I can walk. It can walk.
Good. Yeah, that's what I need. I need another stalker. Yeah, great.
It can walk. It'll probably do somersaults on top of you as well. Pound you into the ground. It's like one of these Boston Dynamics bots that are out there.
Well, yeah, so people, they'll be going, I can't wait, and they'll probably even turn them into some, I don't even think about that. I'm about to perv out thinking about, hey, like, give me a big sexy one, It's like, now we aren't going there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be all kinds. I mean, you got the people who are into little fantasy stuff, the furry type of people. They'll probably give them like little Pokemon things to follow them around. They'll dress them up in all different kinds of ways. And but it'll be.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're smart, you remember, you go back to look at the Segway, right? When the guy, what was his name? Was it Dean Common or something? I can't remember his name. Anyway, he got a whole bunch of Silicon Valley executives together to show him the Segway. And Steve Jobs said, that's great. That's really amazing. But he said, you got to make it look cool or people aren't going to buy it. And he said, furthermore, you got to control the release of this thing, because if you don't, you're going to have some idiot have a really bad fall on it. And that's going to kill the marketing buzz on it. Well, it turned out that idiot was George W. Bush. And it didn't look cool. It looked really stupid. You know, it's a, I rode one once. Karen and I rode all around Chicago once on these things, and we looked so incredibly stupid, but we were having so much fun, we didn't really care. But because it is a blast to ride these things, you just kind of lean and you're going about 12 miles an hour in one direction. But they do look really stupid in this, and that was what he was saying. So they're not going to make the, if they got somebody that's smart, like Steve Jobs, they're going to make them look cool. They're going to make them look sexy or playful or intimidating or something like that. So the rappers can have a couple of these things following them around all the time, like P. Diddy.
Of course,
something.
Then you have your collector's edition so that you're building up the demand. You know, oh, this is a one-off. It's the only one in existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch them bid for it like rare art. You know, it's.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just stupid. The things that they're trying to push off on the world, I mean, I'm rooting for failure now. I mean, I no longer want to build indestructible stuff. I'm rooting for failure.
Yeah.
I hope the big glass head fails or whatever that we're talking about with that invention.
Yeah, the figure bot. Well, talking about failure. Talking about failure, you got all these fast food companies now. The new rage is for them to add artificial intelligence. And I wonder how artificial intelligence makes the food taste. Does it taste any better with AI? I mean, they're chasing this fad. Sorry?
I haven't been to a fast food place in 10 years. I could not tell you. I mean, I don't even like driving by them because, you know, it's like everybody drives crazy getting in and out of there.
Oh, yeah. And that's what they're doing. They're making them all drive-thrus, right? So even Chick-fil-A is setting up now. They're opening up restaurants that are drive-thru only. And now this is an article from Wall Street Journal, and they're talking about this corporation Yum that owns Taco Bell and Pizza Hut and several of these. Yeah, and so they're saying that they're going to start setting up, changing their restaurant as a Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're going to set it up as a drive-through type of thing. So everything is about drive-through. But I thought they were also the same people that are trying to ban private cars. How's that going to work out?
I'm thinking that it'll be the bike lane.
Yeah. It is crazy. But yeah, that's what they're doing everywhere. And I keep looking at this, but I think it's a good example of how these people are not really, they're just chasing fads. You know, it's like a corporate fad to add AI to stuff. And it's not really going to help the quality of their fast food at all. Maybe the AI could come up with something that's more addictive or something, you know, or more unhealthy, but it's not really going to help the food. And then it comes up with, let's just do drive-thrus when they don't realize they're not paying attention to the fact that Biden and company are trying to stop all the cars, including the electric cars. None of this stuff makes any sense.
You know, if you conceptualize what these guys are saying is, no one's going to have a job. No one's going to have a car. How are you going to pay for that? How are you going to acquire it? And then how are you going to pay for it?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you know, they're making themselves obsolete. Failure's good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. maybe the global health rebound and people become healthy because they can't access the yuck or yum.
Yeah, yuck is more like it. That's going to be the new. And we see in California, they got $20 an hour minimum wage for all of the fast food restaurants just went into effect with Newsom. You know that this is going to push a replacement of the employees with robots and other things like that. And as you're just saying, who's going to buy their food, right? Already you got a lot of these fast food chains are saying, well, we're seeing a drop off, even in the cheap fast food stuff, we're seeing a drop off because a lot of our people can't afford it anymore. And this is only going to raise the price up. So they're going to, fire people and replace them with robots. So again, are you going to have robots going through the drive-through to get something to eat? No, they're not going to do that. Henry Ford said he wanted to have an automobile that his workers could afford. They don't think like that anymore. They don't want us. The future doesn't need us. The future doesn't want us. And these futurists don't want or need us.
Well, and then that brings us to digital currency. Okay, you don't need a job. We'll just replenish your wallet every month or whatever. That's and, right. You know, suddenly, where are we at? This is something, it kind of goes off the grid for a moment, but then it brings it back into this subject. And this is the big threes, maybe even the big four, that people don't realize is, well, also with the vax, I mean, you can even throw this into it. But the leaders in Washington, the leaders on the state level, the local level, the ones that are advocating abortions, they have Americans killing Americans. I mean, the next generation, you know, they're always about sustainability. Well, this is not sustainable.
That's right. That's right.
And this is sociological engineers coming up with this stupidity, just like fast food. Mm-hmm. And then if you do have a child that manages not to get aborted and you raise it to 5 years old, and you put it in a public school, they're doing their dead level best to scramble the kids' brains with all this transvestite stuff. I don't even call it transgender. This is just so stupid. It's mental illness.
Yeah, yeah.
And if your kid does finally manage to survive all that mental torture, and manage not to come out to be self-loathing and pick, you know which restroom to use and if it's a boy or girl and what species it is, you know, they have messed up our society so bad, they're even trying to kill us off with the vaccines.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and they try to sterilize us mentally, and if they can't do that, they sterilize us physically. They can use our food. They can use the medicine. But it is a mass psyop of sterilization to hate other people, not even, you know, just the other sex, the other gender, but they want you to hate being around other people completely. You know, I had an article last week of a woman who has been wearing her mask now for 4 years. She doesn't want her grandkids around her. She said they're little germ monsters. They get everybody so OCD with all this stuff. They hate other people and they don't, they're completely, they just want to live their life alone and live their life again through the internet and just hook up that way and live vicariously that way. That's
well, really she what may I'm have a everybody. Point about this. She may have a point about kids. They are pretty nasty.
Yeah, little incubators, but they have their strong points as well. It is interesting to see this program and how they have gotten traction on it. And of course, it was very key to have everybody locked down in 2020 to put everybody on, get everybody a taste of universal basic income. I think that's one of the amazing things to me was how long this went on and how easy it was to train people to take a handout. I mean, it's like the pacified, you know, just like you take a wild animal and train them to, you know, be hand fed. And they did that to people very quickly. Yeah, they did that people very quickly.
They've got the American public domesticated and so servile that, you know, I honestly think you could do pretty much anything you wanted to the general populace. And if you've got a good enough excuse or narrative, the people will go along with it. You know, it's crazy. And then if this isn't bad enough, this is our own government that is orchestrating this. This is not a government for the people or by the people. They're bringing in replacements. They made such a mess of our society and what they've done to the citizenry. They're bringing in replacements who don't have abortions and who don't go along with this stuff. And we're going to have one massive culture collision here shortly if these clowns in Washington are not removed. I mean,
yeah. Well, they want to have they'll have different cultures, different languages, different groups of people who, as they collapse the system, are going to start fighting each other instead of fighting them. That's the key thing. They got to have us fighting each other instead of fighting them. And that's what I think is really in store this year in the politics. You know, they want everybody focused around the two guys who have been rolling this program out for the last 4 years on us. But we got to have one of the two of them. And it's all about their personalities. And look at how everybody this far away from the election, how much everybody hates the guy in the other party from them. It truly is amazing. But that's what they're training us for. They're pushing us into an ethnic civil war as they pull down society. That's exactly what they want.
And, you know, here's something that people don't think about with this. And it's a very real scenario. And no one seems to conceptualize this. This would be the end if we had a civil war. Because we're out here killing, enslaving, whatever they have envisioned, each other, creating a power vacuum. And guess who's going to slip in there on that vacuum? It's either going to be China, Mexico. Well, we don't have to worry about Canada, but maybe Russia. Well, Canada. Yeah. I think they have their own issues at the moment. So, you know, yeah, let's have this civil war. And in the end, it's not going to turn out the way people envision.
No.
But it's the track that our politicians and bureaucrats got us on, it's not going to turn out the way they envision.
That's right.
You know, Bowyer's good here.
Well, we live in interesting times, and they're going to get even more interesting at an accelerating rate, I think, as we head into the last this next term of whoever it is that's president. They're going to take us right up to the end of the fourth turning, and they're going to take us through collapse. And, you know, either Biden or Trump could do it, or Lala Harris. They'd be perfect for this role. Any of them. They've already gone through the vetting. They already know these people can perfectly manage to collapse our society. So that's what they're going to try to do. And so that just, to me, it just underscores how we've got to get more focused on our own lives, how we got to prepare for it. We've got already some forward-looking state legislators, you know, here in Tennessee, we've got Senator Nicely. In Utah, they've just set up new laws that are going to allow the Utah state government to start accumulating gold to protect themselves against the financial weaponization of a centralized digital currency and other things like that, and to you know, the possibility of a financial collapse. And so you've got a lot of different states. There's several of them here in the Southeast that are looking at this. You've got Utah, which is just you know, one guy has been very active there. Ivory is his name, and just like Nicely here, he's put in several bills that are going to make it so the state and individuals, it's easier for them to use gold and to have gold as a counter to what's going to be done by the Federal Reserve. So you have people who do see what's coming, but if we see it, we got to make those moves ourselves, really, to try to protect that.
Yeah, but I mean, if this goes off the way that they're saying, you know, it's going to, I hate to even say it, you're going to have to cut off the head of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your Ruby Ridges. You're going to have your French Davidian incidents. You're going to have to, oh man, I don't even like saying this stuff. You're going to have to eradicate one way or another. I don't mean terminally, but I mean this thought process of these politicians and these bureaucrats who have led us to this point. They have. They have to be punished. They have to be removed from power. And things need to be reestablished to represent the citizens. It no longer does that.
Yeah.
I know we're supposed to be talking about tech, but you can look at just right now, the news feed. Let's take Easter, the oyster rabbit.
Yeah, he did say oyster when he meant to say Easter. Biden did.
All hail the great oyster rabbit. there's all this gender stuff being pushed on us, and for the life of me, I cannot make sense of it. Why would you take something that's less than 1% of the United States population and offend about 75% of your voters with it? I mean, so I would say 50 to 75% of the citizens in the U.S. identify as Christian. So why would you run that risk for less than 1% of the population to offend the majority?
Well, I have an idea.
No matter.
I have an idea. Because I think this is fundamentally about, you know, making people say 2 + 2 = 5. And as I said earlier in the broadcast, you have the 2 + 2 = 5. That's what the tyrants want to do. As Solzhenitsyn said, as Orwell said, they want you to live by the lie. They want you to lie to yourself, to double think, to say whatever they say. You know, once you accept 2 + 2 = 5, then they'll give you something else that you have to lie to yourself about. And just blindly repeat whatever they say. But it's also this idea that it ties in the hedonism you had with Orwell, not Orwell, but Huxley, you know. And so it ties all of that together. But it's a very useful construct. Yeah, when you look at from the transgender stuff, they've also got the furry stuff. And I think that dovetails into an augmented reality, and people who want to just live their life alone, living on virtual reality and living on the internet, that's what they're pushing people through. I think that's another aspect of this transgender stuff, is to keep people away from having physical contact with the real world, keep them living in a bubble, keep them in a virtual reality where they can get on the internet, their entire existence is on the internet, just like Ready Player One. They can be a rabbit their entire life. They can be an oyster rabbit or whatever, you know. And I think that's a part of it as well. What do you think?
Well, I'm tending to agree with you on it, but this is so obviously the death of democracy. Everybody keeps screaming about democracy, yet you're taking 1%, less than 1% of the population, and you're elevating their importance over the majority.
Oh, yeah.
That's not democracy.
That's right. That's right.
And if you have a leader in there, I'm pretty apolitical. I think they all are unfit for their office. But if you have a leader that is disregarding the beliefs of the majority, that person needs to be removed from office.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about religious. I'm not talking about any of this stuff that that gets you lost in the weeds. I'm talking about the concept.
Mm-hmm.
We're a Democrat republic. Well, okay, we're a republic that runs off democracy. When democracy's not being respected, we've got a problem.
Yeah, years ago, Newt Gingrich, and he was just a politician blowing in the wind and everything, but at least he cared what the majority said. I remember him talking about it. He said, so you got, and I don't even remember what the issue was. He goes, so you got 80% of the people who want this, and you got 20% of the people who want that. Well, as a guy who's a politician, I want to go with the 80%, but we don't have people like that anymore. You know, as you're pointing out, they keep talking democracy, even though we've got a republic and we've got a Bill of Rights and things like that. They hold democracy up as this great ideal, and yet they don't care. They don't care about the 80%. Well, they're going to go with the 0.02%.
Well, I'll say this, if this podcast thing gig don't work out, you really ought to run for Congress to get a Senate this time.
Just make my life total nightmare and hell, right? I told Karen, I said, with this abortion stuff happening, I'm tempted to run for Congress and do the same thing that progressive liberal did and say, hey, I'm running for Congress. I can show pictures of an aborted baby if I want to, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just make the whole thing about that. But I said, I'd have to run as a Democrat because I want to make sure that I didn't get elected.
Well, I mean, if you did get elected, it'd be totally worth it because it would restore my faith in democracy.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. But yeah, we'll have to see. Maybe in future years when things start to wind down, maybe I'll do that. Just have the campaign be a single issue thing, and everybody just send in money to fund commercials. You know, somebody else can do it. You don't have to wait for me to do it.
We could use your pissed off scary face as a campaign poster, you know?
There we go. That's it. Yeah. Well, it's always great talking to you, GoTree, and it always is a blast, and it's great tapping into your experience there with technology, because that's where they're coming at us with. You know, it's a technological slavery. And you and I have both watched this thing turn 180 degrees around from the point at which technology was a great thing. We loved it. It was making our lives better. And now it's being turned into a system of slavery. And they're putting these chains on us right now. And people can't wake up to it. It truly is amazing. So it's always great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us, GoTree. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, David.
All right. We'll talk to you later. And folks, thanks for joining us. And don't forget, davidknight.gold. If you want, gold is going up really fast. But if you want to have something that's going to be effective counter to this digital slavery, go to davidknight.gold.
Let me tell you, the David Knight Show, you can listen to with your ears. You can even watch it by using your eyes. In fact, if you can hear me, that means you're listening to the David Knight Show right now. Yeah, good job. And you want to know something else? You can find all the links to everywhere to watch or listen to the show at thedavidknightshow.com. That's a website.